Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 7. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in second chair is Mike Powers from the Off the Cuff podcast.
Yeah, I guess I can sit in the second chair this week.
Yeah.
Feels like it's been forever since we recorded another show.
I know. I think it has been forever since I recorded another show.
I mean, because we did episode 6 the Monday before instead of the Thursday before. So it's, you know, if we had waited like another 3 days, it would have been 2 weeks since we recorded a show.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But why did we do that, Steve?
Because I went on vacation to Florida. Orlando. Walt Disney World.
How'd that go?
It was fun. The airport parts were a pain in the rear. Mostly because of having to go through the ordeal of carrying around a massive amount of luggage, and this time around a child.
Okay. Because I was gonna ask, you know, not to get into airport politics or anything like that. I was wondering if it was, you know, when my wife and I went on our honeymoon, it was a breeze, but it was just the two of us with one carry-on each, and we didn't have the, I mean, we checked bags and we still had our carry-on. But everything worked out. The only time we were worried is when we got to Hawaii and we were waiting for our luggage. It was like, is it here? Is it coming? Like, what's, is it? I mean, and it showed up. You know, before, we didn't, it's not like we had to drop it off to us at our hotel or anything. It felt like it was taking a long time for it to pop up in the machine. But yeah, what I was wondering, if it was just, you know, an amount of luggage, or if it was like, you know, you have you're traveling with a child.
Had his car seat, his stroller. We had 3 carry-on bags. We had 2 suitcases and baggage claim. And then on the return trip, we had an additional bag of crap that we had to get because our bag went overweight. So luckily my wife had bought another bag while we were out in Florida. So we were able to move some of overage into that bag. So it was kind of it was not fun, to say the least. And then I got stranded at the airport on the way home. Once I hit back in Flint, my wife's friend had a car just enough size to fit all of the stuff and us in it, but she brought her boyfriend, so there wasn't enough room for the final piece of the luggage and my own ass to sit in the vehicle, so they had to drop off everything at home and come back and get me.
Was this Tuesday?
Yes.
I was going to say, you should have just called me.
It wasn't a big deal because it was only like 20 minutes from where I live, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here, I guess, for the next like half hour, 40 minutes. And
well, yeah, I mean, it's 20 minutes away from your house, but they've got to drive 20 minutes there and then 20 minutes back, plus whatever took them to unload stuff. So probably,
well, like they literally unlocked the door and just threw the stuff in the door. Like, it was no, like, it was hilarious because I come in the house and it's all like right in front of the door.
Man, so, I get that. You get off the plane after a long flight and you just want to be done. Like, so.
And then to make matters worse, it was like 11 o'clock at night by the time we got home. And then I still had to put away some stuff because most of my electronics were all in this one backpack that I was carrying the entire time. And I had to work 4 hours later to go do one job, and then I have an hour gap between that job and my main job. So I was like, I'm tired.
But the trip,
but
Disney World, yeah, land.
Oh yeah. The trip was great though. We got to see 9 Disney characters, and this time of year is actually the best time to go because the longest you wait, I think is 20 minutes to get on a ride.
Oh, nice.
And most of the time, you can just pretty much get off it, go right back on it.
Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that some rides my son can ride, so we did baby swap because my in-laws went with us, and they would basically we'd have one person stay off, and then three of us would go on a ride, or two of us depending, and then no sooner come back out and do the baby swap, which is like a fast pass, so it was kind of nice.
Okay, that's cool.
But 5 days was entirely too long.
Too long?
To be walking around the parks.
My
legs are still sore.
We didn't do... I mean, when we were in Hawaii, we went around, but there wasn't a whole lot of walking. I mean, just normal walking if we went to the beach or something like that, but... Fun. I actually like flying.
I would rather fly than drive.
So,
driving is evil.
See, I've driven the farthest. Farthest I've driven east is to Delaware, and the farthest I've driven west is to Iowa. But I've been in a car to Colorado. I don't have a problem with long distance trips. I like the idea of, I love driving, and gas prices don't really deter me from driving.
Okay.
I will cut back other places in order for me to make sure that I can drive when I want to drive.
Makes sense.
I remember, funny story, I've been rereading my live journal. I was one of those guys. I had a live journal, you know, 10 years ago.
I had one too. I just closed it down like 6 months ago.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about it, right, is, you know, we had the whole Batman casting and everyone saying Ben Affleck was really bad at it. And some people shot back with, let's judge you with something that you did 10 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that I started my live journal almost 10 years ago. I started it in like February of 2000. I started in February of 2003. So I just recently decided to go back and just read all my entries and stuff like that. And I was kind of the same guy. Like, I would post entries about movies and video games and stuff for my friends to see. But that summer, like the summer of 2003, I was an ass to all my friends. Like, I was mad. I mean, it didn't help that I had just been like dumped by my girlfriend at the time, that I'd been with her for like 3.5 years. And I just like took it out on like everybody that was around me. Just like the only people that really came out of that, that still talked to me after that summer are actually like my hardcore friends. But I went back and I read it, and there were a lot of journal entries in there about me like driving around, just trying to, you know, clear my head and stuff like that. And I remember there's one entry where I got a new car and I, you know, traded in my car. I had a Ford Tempo.
Mm-hmm.
I traded that in for a slightly newer car, and I had put in the 2 years I had the Tempo, I put 80,000 miles on the car.
Jeez.
And I changed the oil twice.
Wow.
Now, I know that's bad. My dad is, you know, he's been around cars since he was like, I don't know, he could walk basically. He's kind of the classic GM story where you start in the small town and then you work at the dealership and then you work as like the parts guy and you work your way up. Now he sells like engines and transmissions for GM.
Nice.
So I know how to take care of a car, and I knew I wasn't taking care of the car the right way, but the car was a piece of shit. But I couldn't, the car would not break down.
Nice.
And that's, and it's, you know, it's crazy. And you know, as much as I hated the car, I also love the car, because like I said, I put 80,000 miles on. Obviously, I like driving it, but I also just like driving. But now I have a nice car and I take care of it. I change the oil when I'm supposed to change the oil and stuff like that. And But yeah, I like the idea of every once in a while I get, you know, I talk to my wife about going to like Comic-Con or going to PAX, and those are all on the West Coast, and I look up airfare and I look up train tickets, and I also look into like, you know, thinking about driving. The only problem I have with driving to something like that is you have to have like a bigger window of time.
Yeah,
So it's
because
not
you
like,
gotta accommodate that time driving on the road instead of flying.
right. So like PAX being like a 3-day event, right? You could like fly in the Friday of it and go, or like the Thursday right before and go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and like either leave on Sunday or leave on Monday. And that's like 5 days, right? But if you're driving, you've got to at least tack on 2 or 3 days on the front or the back of that, or front and back of that, you know. But I love driving. I've always have. So,
I think I would die if I drove that far.
but
I would pass out.
I wouldn't do it in one sitting. Would you, would now, would you have been able to drive that distance if you didn't have a kid in the car? Or is it like
I couldn't do it.
you just couldn't do it? Okay. Do
No.
you like
I have a
driving?
hard enough time driving over an hour and a half
Okay.
without getting tired because it bores me.
I guess when I was going through the whole driver's training thing, my dad, like one of the first places I drove on my learner's permit, my parents have a house in Manistee, Michigan, which is about 4 hours away.
Okay.
And my dad made me drive that. That's like one of the first places I drove to after I got my learner's permit. And it wasn't like he was like, you have to drive this. I'm gonna sit in the passenger seat the whole time, you know, blah blah blah. And even like on the way back, like he drove on the way back, but he's like, no, you're staying awake. You are not, you know, you're not sleeping on this car ride. You are staying awake. So it's kind of like it's ever since I started driving, I've been conditioned for like the long haul. Like I can drive, if I'm in a car, I do not fall asleep. Like I've driven from Grand Rapids home at like 4 o'clock in the morning,
Jeez.
going on like no sleep, you know, from the day before, and getting home like perfectly fine, like wide awake the whole time. I'm just like, I'm conditioned for it, for long drives, and I don't know, I like it.
Lucky
But
you.
yeah, you know, and it, yeah, whatever. I mean, so yeah, that's not really geeky, but something interesting. I mean,
Yeah.
why does anyone else share the same sentiment? Do you enjoy driving? Do you hate driving? I don't know. Tell us what you think. I mean, do you even have a license? Are you old enough to have a license? We don't know how old you guys are. We have to ask these questions. We want to know who's listening.
Yes. Yes, we do.
But yeah, I could, you know, this whole thing could be tied back into the whole geek thing, which is you don't judge somebody on something they did 10 years ago, because I was not the person I am right now. 10 years ago, I am a much better person now than I was 10 years ago.
10 years ago, I was running a Transformers website
Yep, you are a
that.
much better person now than you were 10 years
Yes. No, this site wasn't doing too bad. It was kind of. I knew entirely too much about Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon and Transformers back then.
Yeah.
All three of which I know as minimal about now as possible.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of into the same things 10 years ago. There just wasn't a platform for anyone to grab a microphone and shout into the void their own opinions, other than like a live journal or something like that.
I think kind of getting into that, that's when I first got the itch to do the voiceover stuff because back in 2005, that's when I started doing fan dub voices.
Now, what is that?
That's for instance there's a Transformers series that like I did it's Headmasters. It's the continuation of the original G1 Transformers cartoon.
Okay.
And in Japan, the series continues. They didn't have the Rebirth three-parter that the U.S. had, which is why the animation sucks. But they went an entirely different route. They had Headmasters, Master Force, Victory, and a bunch of other ones in there that kind of continued it. But I got cast as the voice of Scourge in that, and then through that, I got it into a podcast in 2007 doing war stories for TF Wire.
Okay.
Where I read people's fanfics doing character voices. And then from there in 2008 is when I eventually did all things Transformers and so on and so forth. But.
All right. Anything else we want to mention just off the top before we do the reader feedback? Do you want to do reader feedback or do we want to do like news stuff?
I guess we can touch light news and then go reader feedback.
Whichever one you want, host away.
I think we'll do news.
Sounds good to me.
So, get it pulled up here. I found this kind of interesting earlier in the week. It was posted 3 days ago, but it says, "And then there were four," which references DC Comics as far as the new 52. And as I told you off air, this is the original DC new 52 publications, only Aquaman, All-Star Western, Batman and Robin, The Flash and Wonder Woman have retained the creative teams that launched the titles in September 2011. Basically four creative teams. The rest of them have all jumped ship over to Marvel. It sounds to me like people don't have much faith in DC at this point. Not only for the fact that they can't seem to get their film franchise figured out.
Yeah, I think that's got to be part of it here.
I think that's going to be a major part of it. And then I think a lot of the problem is with the new 52, they've managed to still pluck elements of the pre-new 52 and put it right back into sequence.
You don't say.
Yeah. But, I have come to the conclusion that I'm done with comics for a while, because not only is it an expensive habit, but, the stories are just not pulling me at this point.
Yeah, I get that.
So, and that, and I actually sold a big chunk of my new 52, because I just didn't care for them anymore. I bought them out of, I had cash, so I was like, let's pick this up and read it. Let's pick this up and read it. And then I was like, these suck. So I was like, these are the ones I'm getting rid of.
Yeah, I have a whole, I have a closet. I have like a long box in my closet that I'm thinking about going through and possibly bringing some of them to the next geek sale to try and like offload. The problem is I don't know anything about the value of them, and I wouldn't want anything less than cover. And I'm not entirely sure I want to give any of them up. They're just in there. They're away. I haven't touched them in like years. But yeah, comics is expensive.
Well, I know, especially at $3.99. Some of them are $2.99, but most of them are $3.99 a pop now.
I mean, but it's weird, though. I sit here, I think about the idea of collecting comics, and like, you know, it's like you said, it's like $3.99 a pop. And I'm willing to spend, you know, $20, $40, $60 on a game. And that's not a problem.
But there's replay value in a game.
That's true. But a lot of games I play like once through and I'm done. Very few, like I know like a lot of developers have put in like, you know, multiplayer and stuff like that, but I'm like, your game didn't need multiplayer and I'm never gonna touch it. Like they're like Tomb Raider, the latest Tomb Raider, which is an awesome game, and you have an Xbox, so I can let you borrow it because you should play
it.
Awesome game. They put multiplayer in it. It doesn't need multiplayer. Like
That's whatever. Maybe a standalone.
But you know, it's but comics. I just feel and that can add up. You know, because it's not just one. They like hook you with that. It's like you read one and you follow it for so long, and then they end up doing like an event, and all of a sudden you find yourself collecting 10.
Well, and not only the events cause you to do that, but it's the fact that all the different lines cross over with parts of the story. So if you don't collect all of them, you're kind of in the dark in some aspect.
Yeah, so $4 very quickly becomes $40.
And which I find annoying.
That's, I mean, man. I mean, I'd rather spend $40 on a video game.
Think about the not only, even if you consider that you don't play it again after you beat it, how many hours of entertainment are you going to get from spending that $40 overspending or $60 overspending that $4 or $5 for a comic?
Well, now that is a very...
You're going to read the comic once and then put it away.
I think that is kind of a loaded question, because I mean that is something that's come up a lot in like video games, because you have like, for instance, one of the games that I think is like phenomenal and is going to be on my game of the year list for off the cuff is a game called Gone Home, and it is a phenomenal game. It's $20 and it takes about 3 hours to beat it.
Okay.
But it is phenomenal. Now, I have trouble getting my friends to commit $20 to a 3 hour game. Like, and I didn't have a problem. I was like, I'd never played it. I heard a couple of other podcasts talk about it and they were like hyping it up. And I was like, okay, you know what? It's $20. I'm going to see what this is. And it blew me away. And I've spent, you know, I spent $60 on Portal 2 and beat it in a day, like one sitting. And I think it took me like 10 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I have that much time to sit around and finish a game.
I think I beat Arkham City in a week on two difficulty levels.
Well, yeah. So you dove back. I mean, right there. I mean, that's, you know, that's basically $30 a playthrough, which is great. But a comic, I don't know. Like, there are issues of, like, I have an issue of Ultimate X-Men that, you know, I probably paid $3 or $4 for, and I finished the comic in like 20 seconds because there was little to no dialogue in the comic. It was just all artwork, and that's fine. But I literally picked it up. Took it out of the shrink wrap, opened it up, looked at every single panel, and I was done with it. Like 2 minutes. I was like, wow. Okay. These comics are getting really bad.
Well, like there was a DC comic issue where it was literally all art. There was not a speck of dialogue in the entire issue.
Yeah.
Where Damian died. And they were doing like a mourning thing, which I could kind of see to an extent, but then it was just blah. There's just nothing. Like, it's like you should at least have something in there.
But I guess the flip side of that is you pay $20 for a movie on Blu-ray. I mean, if you're smart, you get it for like 10. But
if you're smart, you can get it for $20 on Blu-ray, but you can have the combo pack.
Right. But it's like, but that's still one movie, and it's like maybe you're lucky if that movie's 2 hours, right? I feel like the price per value,
the whole thing, entertainment business seems like it's expensive for what you get.
It is, but it depends on like the value that you, I think, because that's a conversation that happens all the time. The price per like hours of entertainment, or like the entertainment value assigned to a dollar amount. That's a hard conversation to have.
If people have ideas on that, send it to feedback@geekcastradio.com or comment on the post.
Yeah, like, okay, I mean, so just a couple of examples. I mean, do you think $4 for a comic is that you're probably going to finish in 5 minutes and may, 5 to 10 minutes, and you may never play it again? Is that worth your time? Is $20 for a 3 hour game good enough? How long do you expect How long do you expect a 60 Steve is being mauled by his cat. How long
yes,
do you
my
expect
cat is in the picture.
How long do you expect a 60-hour game to be, like, before it's, you know, worth your time? Do you ever feel cheated if it's not? I don't know, like, because people pay like $10 to go see a movie in the theater and it's 2 hours, and then to own it you have to pay like $20. So technically you've paid $30 for one movie.
But the experience in the theater is completely different aspect.
It's still
the money ratio.
I feel like on that side, I almost feel like it should be flipped, don't you? If you're getting like the best experience you possibly can with a movie, don't you think the theatrical version should be 20 and the home movie one should be $10?
That would make more sense.
Would
mean that
though?
You're gonna have to watch it on whatever tiny screen you got.
True.
Or
but
in
I bet,
some people's
I bet
cases,
that,
50-inch screens.
Who has that?
It's still not the same experience as if you go see something in IMAX.
No, which is why a lot of the times if I go see a movie, it's the IMAX release. And here's a helpful little inside tip, guys. The resolution of the standard digital movies, it's the same resolution as your HD TV. It's just blown up really big. So yeah, think about that for a second.
That's funny.
Yeah, that annoys me so much. It makes me so angry. I'm just kind of like, man.
It's like you can do so much better with the screen being so large.
They can, and there are projectors that allow them to present a superior picture to what's at home, but they're expensive. So
they're
I get
being cheap.
Well, I mean, the projectors they have aren't cheap. So I would imagine the projectors that offer the superior picture are like twice as expensive. But yeah, you know, it's just unfortunate. But yeah, like the I guess, okay, the hobby that you're in, is the cost for that hobby worth it to you? I mean, like I said, I spent, what did I say? Like almost $8,000 on video games since 2006. That's totally worth it to me. And I don't do the whole, you know, I don't do the trade in for store credit towards the next thing. That's I either get everything like at full price or I get it like, you know, on sale, but I don't do the used game thing. That's just not my, that's just not, I understand it. I'm not blasting the used game market. I totally understand that, you know, I totally understand the people that do that. That's just not me, partially because I feel like I should be much the same way that we talked about collecting TV shows
mm-hmm.
for people to play. I feel like I'm collecting video games for children that I say that I will never have to eventually play someday.
Yeah.
So.
No, I buy used games, but it depends on the game. Like if it's a game I know that I just want to try it out or that kind of thing, then I don't care about spending $5-$10 on a used game. But if it's a game such as like Arkham or Smash Brothers or something like that, I buy it at full price or I buy it like Black Friday or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, there's a, like about this time of year, I make a fall list, which we also covered that the games of the fall on the latest Off the Cuff. So if you want a preview of those, you can head on over there and listen to that. But like what I usually do is I make a list of games that I have to have. Like day one, like there's no way around me paying $60 for this game, no matter what. And then I make a secondary list of Black Friday purchases. Mm-hmm. Like games that I know that, yeah, they're $60 right now, but they're going to be between $20 and $40 in like 2 weeks. So I can wait to play those. And in a way, I'm kind of glad I wait because those usually end up underneath my TV in the shrink wrap and never get played. So, but
nice.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Because there's a small part of me that I'm supporting a hobby and an entertainment industry that I actually enjoy and care for, and I make sure that they get at least some money for their hard work. So
makes sense.
Much the same way I'm not insinuating anything here, but much the same way that I don't pirate movies. Like that's the one thing I will not will not steal. I take that back. I have pirated one movie before, and it was Catwoman. I had to see how bad it was.
I'm not commenting.
I had to see how bad it was, and I didn't want to rent it, and I didn't want to buy it. So I was like, I got to see how bad it is. The unfortunate thing was, I was like taking an ethics class, and I was reading all this stuff, and I was like, this is a really interesting movie. The message in this movie is really interesting. It's the wrong movie for this message.
Nice.
Because it was all about female empowerment, right? That was what the whole movie was about. But it was Halle Berry as Catwoman. Way wrong movie for that message. But I don't know, how did we even get here? I've been trying to track this conversation back. Anyone that's as lost as we are, we apologize.
It started off with comics. The DC train wreck.
It did. So yeah.
So I think we've dabbled in this one long enough. I think we should move on.
Well, let's go real quick. Bring it right back around to the DC thing. I think what's happening here is Warner Brothers' failure to get the DC movies off the ground and Marvel's ability to capitalize on their properties theatrically is driving sales for Marvel, and sales are declining for DC? Or is something else going on that we're not being told about? Or is it DC doing something really bad?
Like, I'm wondering if they're changing. I wonder if it's one of those spiraling things, like when they fired Gail Simone and then they kind of, you know, rehired her back almost immediately because the fan base and I think people are leaving voluntarily before DC says, you know, we're going to give you the shaft. I think it's a creative control thing that the higher ups are like, oh, no, we want you to do this. And they're like, no, I don't really want to.
So it's just crumbling from within inside. Okay.
I think they're killing themselves.
It should come as no surprise to anybody. I think I've mentioned it on here before. I am not a fan of the DC comics. I love their movies.
I'm a fan within reason, but I'm starting to look the other way.
All right. Let's see.
Switching gears, I think you had some like little tidbits.
I've got some things here. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 has been delayed. I think this is smart. It's not clear whether or not it's like a production delay, like it's just going to be like a late start.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're doing this because if anyone's looked at the releases for 2015, that is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
You have Star Wars Episode 7. You have,
which is Disney.
Yeah. You've got Batman versus Superman. You have Avengers 2. You have Jurassic World. You have one Pixar movie, which I can't remember the name of right now. That's just those are big movies in and of themselves. I think Pirates of Caribbean will be shot and done the way that it's supposed to be, but I think they're going to wait given how Brockheimer's movies have been received.
Which is smart.
So that it doesn't just get slaughtered in the summer, in that summer. Like, I think they're going to make it all of a sudden make it like a November movie, or if they'll just hold it over to 2016. But I think the delay is just PR for saying we're not going to step into that bloodbath with a franchise that may or may not make us money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Disney already has. I mean, they're competing against themselves, essentially, if they put Pirates in there, because they own the Avengers.
And so, Star Wars.
Yeah, and Star Wars. So, I mean, that's two different subsidiary companies still, but it's still all three would be Disney films killing themselves. So it's kind of stupid to.
Actually, great segue here, because I think we might, I don't know. I feel like we should get off the movie stuff.
Which I think we will. It'll really help when hint tease that M-Wire is going to be taking over a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did drop another little story in there about, you know, all the movies that are coming out in 2015. We have a title for Jurassic Park 4, which is Jurassic World. So
it's almost like Transformers 4, Age of Extinction, the Dinobots.
I'm excited for Transformers 4. I didn't like the second one. We've talked about this. I didn't like the second one, but I like the first and the third one.
I'm kind of done with it, but I've heard from multiple podcasts it could have double meaning. And the other thing is, if you've noticed, every Transformers film since the first one, they give away a lot about the film just by the title that they add onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen. Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon. Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. I mean, it's just... they kind of give away what the major plot point is of every film in the title, like, more than I think they should.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'll see it. It's kind of like what we talked about last week with the Marvel movies kind of being, or the comic movies in general being just, ugh. Like, you know what? Let's just go into the comments.
Yeah, I think we should do that. That's a great segue right there, actually.
I was going to segue into, because I think this is another 2015 movie. Jason Ritter wanted to know what we thought about Ant-Man. And I think Ant-Man is the other 2015 Marvel movie right now.
I think so.
Cool. I mean, I heard that they showed off a test reel at the last Comic-Con, which apparently nobody has seen. And I really want to see, because they said it was like really fast action where he got like really big and then really tiny, and like he, like, you know, got really big and punched a guy, and then like it was like there was a whole lot of motion going on, and it looked really cool, but nobody's seen it. And that is a whole other discussion in and of itself in the world of the internet, how Comic-Con is so closed off as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just baffles me, but we can talk about that another time. I know that Ant-Man is a wife beater, but I know they're not going to put that in a movie,
especially being owned by Disney.
It's kind of, they'll skirt around it the way that they skirt around Tony Stark's alcoholism.
Yeah.
There'll be like subtle little things here.
It'll be a footnote.
You won't outright see him beat the crap out of Wasp. But, and I wonder if we'll hear about Pym particles at some time, because that's a thing. I don't know if you know that, being a DC guy and not really a Marvel guy, but...
I don't know about these kind of secondary type characters very much. I call him a secondary character because I'm unfamiliar with him. He's not like a... even Hawkeye is more of a primary over Ant-Man, as far as I can see.
Is he that because he made it to screen first?
That could be. Okay. And I'm basing it solely on what I've seen, because again, I'm not very familiar with Marvel. I do know some X-Men stuff, some Spider-Man, some because I have had Spider-Man comics in the past. I've had little experience with many of the others. I have read some Iron Man. So I mean, it's not that I try and say anything against any of them. I'm very unfamiliar with them, so I couldn't really make an informed decision on Ant-Man or any of these other kind of secondary, tertiary characters.
I think if you want to get just like an abridged look at the, and I could get yelled at here in the comments, maybe, hopefully, if you want like an abridged look at the Marvel universe, I highly recommend the Ultimate line of comics.
Okay.
I have all of them and I can give them to you, and I have a reading list. So like, cause it's like the Ultimate line is Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Fantastic Four, Ultimate X-Men, and then the Ultimates, which are the Avengers. But they're kind of what DC was supposed to do with what I thought DC was going to do with All-Star, with their All-Star lineup.
Okay.
They basically removed They took the writers out of the constraints of continuity baggage.
Okay.
So the ultimate line exists in its own, it's its own universe that has no ties to, well, I take that back, but I don't want to get into it right now. It's its own universe and it's all the same characters that you know, but it's like a slightly different spin on them here or there. And they do eventually like kind of retell some of the classic stories, like Dark Phoenix is kind of retold there. Carnage shows up in Ultimate Spider-Man, but there's a nice little twist on that. And it's because it's only like four books, they're all really tightly knit together.
Okay.
Like for instance, in Ultimate X-Men, there's an issue where like the first couple pages of it are Wolverine gets a phone call from Nick Fury. And then he disappears. And he's gone for like four or six issues or something like that. But at the same time, they released Ultimate Wolverine versus the Hulk. And that is where Wolverine went. And as soon as he's done with that, when he was finished with that run, that's when he shows back up in the Ultimate X-Men. So it wasn't like he was in two books at once. It was they actually
Makes
removed him.
sense.
They removed him from the book and wrote his little side story about what he was doing, what the phone call from Nick Fury was for, and then they brought
Nice.
him back into the. And so it's nice. It's full of all that stuff. And there's definitely like there's a beginning, and there's an end, but then it keeps going and it gets bad. So there's a beginning and an end, and it's really good. It's written a lot of it is written by Mark Millar. And
Okay.
Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis, yeah.
Yep. So yeah, it's really good. And as far as like an abridged look at the Marvel characters and who they are, that is probably like the best way to catch up with it. Because I know there's like sounds daunting to say this, but there's only like 100 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it ran the longest out of all of them.
Okay.
So, like, they launched the Ultimate Universe with Ultimate Spider-Man, and the Ultimates. But I think there's only like 18 issues of the Ultimates in the whole thing. So, but yeah, it's really good. It's really interesting, and that's where a lot of these cinematic characters have come from, is from the Ultimate line.
Which is why they're more cohesive than some of the other
Yeah, and
type
like
of comic films.
there's even like in jokes like well they're kind of in jokes now. They weren't they kind of they weren't really at the time. Like I think Marvel wrote this like they started the Ultimate line as a way of like telling Hollywood how they would make their movies. Like they Nick Fury is literally designed off of Samuel L. Jackson. There is a line where they are the Ultimates are sitting the Ultimates being the Avengers are sitting around talking about who they would cast as them if a movie was made about them. And
That's funny.
Robert Downey Jr. is brought up as Tony Stark, and Samuel L. Jackson is brought up as Nick Fury.
And these were written before the films?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
So it's really cool, and there's a really funny scene involving the Hulk and Freddie Prinze Jr. That's all I'll say about But no, if it, like that's where it's a really good place to start, and I can get that for you so you can get like the abridged version of it. But that's how I know Ant-Man is from the Ultimates, where he's like the wife beater and the kind of has like a drug problem and he's crazy. That's not who it's going to be. As far as who I'd like to see play him, the only name I've heard tossed around is wow.
Scotty.
Thank you. What is his
Simon
name?
Pegg.
Thank you. Simon Pegg. I've been talking for way too long tonight.
Yeah.
I played a dice and paper role-playing game over the internet for like 2.5 hours before we sat down to record.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I've been talking nonstop, so my tongue is getting tired.
Yeah, I'd have no thought about it other than what you're saying.
Jason Ritter had another interesting thing. just finish up his comments.
Yeah.
He would like to see an adult Deadpool cartoon show. With the guy that voiced him in his video game, who that is Nolan North, played the voice of Deadpool in the video game. Nolan
does a lot of video game work.
Yes. In fact, there's a really funny joke in Saints Row 4 when you're creating your character. You can pick between three different male voices, three different female voices, and the last option is Nolan North.
That's awesome.
I would like to see a Deadpool anything. Especially after seeing like Deadpool in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. It doesn't even need to be like an adult Deadpool cartoon show. I just want to see a Deadpool show. So I think that would be great.
I think it would be cool. I mean, I'd give it a shot and watch it.
All right. You want to do the meat and potatoes?
The rest of the comments?
The questions?
Yeah. Well, we asked in the previous episode from Plato Lament the questions, what are your all-time favorite movies? Which we did get a lot of feedback on the site, on the episode post and the forum. All of them ranging to different degrees between like Rambo's or Fast and the Furious or films such as like Godfather, Terminator, Halloween. I mean, they're all over the place between everybody.
Which is great.
Kind of mentioning them.
What are your top three?
See, for me, it's kind of a tough one because the films that I like are partially nostalgic, but partially because I really enjoy them and can still watch them.
Are you just trying to skirt around the issue that they're not all comic book movies, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
While we can get into that after this mess, these three questions, but no comic book movie is in my all-time favorite film list. I would probably put Back to the Future in my top three.
One or two, or just the whole thing?
The whole thing, just because I like each film for different reasons.
I can't stand the third one, but go on.
Well, the third one, it took me a long time to actually get used to the concept of it, and I understand it now. But again, the first and second one, I mean, I really like the second one because it's all futuristic and you see Jaws 29 and,
yeah,
you know, the flying cars. So, I mean, in that aspect, I really like that one. And it visits the first film again,
mm-hmm,
in elements. So, I mean, I would probably say overall that one. And I'm putting this one on here because it's one of my earliest films of watching and it's just hilarious to me. Ace Ventura franchise.
Okay.
It's not I wouldn't consider it a great movie of all time, but I find it to be very funny and something I can still watch. I would know by no means would it actually fit in a top 10 just because it's not that good, but it's still funny. And then the other film I would probably put in there is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ooh.
Because that breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And I think it's hilarious just because of the kind of things that go on.
I could be a walrus, but I'd still have to bum a ride.
Yeah.
Number one is always a no-brainer to me because anytime someone walks up to me and says, "What is your favorite movie?" I instantly reply with American Beauty. I don't know what it is. I just think the acting in that movie and the cinematography, the whole everything about it is just on. I can't. But it's weird because it's one of the movies, like I own it on DVD, but I have not been able to bring myself to buy it on Blu-ray. Mainly because I don't feel like it's a movie that would benefit from Blu-ray. But I could, but you know, I could be completely wrong. I mean, right now the DVD is in a box in my garage. It's not like something I watch on a regular basis. But I love that movie so much, and my wife hates it, which is probably another reason why I don't buy it on Blu-ray, because I would never watch it on Blu-ray. Second favorite movie all time, Clueless. I love Clueless. I just, there's something so, it's just great. I like all the lines. I like Paul Rudd's character. I think Alicia Silverstone in it is great. It's just, it's very quotable. It's, I don't know. And what it's, it could be because, you know, I grew up with two sisters. I mean, I would not have watched this movie on my own. But growing up with two sisters, it was on in the house, and you know, you have like a, you know, sit down with your siblings and you watch a movie, and that was one of them. And eventually, somewhere along the lines, like my cousin and I both like watched it, and it was still funny. And I, that's one movie that I do own on Blu-ray. And I, it's one of the things that I watch, and I can quote it from beginning to end. I don't even know what it is. I just find it funny. It's even funnier now when everyone whips out like the giant cell phones and like the pagers, and you know, it's got Donald Faison, Turk from Scrubs, is in it. So I can't, it's hard to find someone in there that I don't like. What's even funnier about it is, have you ever watched the show Supergatory on ABC?
I've seen it.
Okay. The dad is from Clueless. He's the, I don't know if you are familiar with Clueless at all. The dad,
I've from seen it once before.
Okay. Well, the dad from Supergatory is the guy that wants to date Alicia Silverstone in Clueless. And they ended up, Alicia Silverstone was on Supergatory for like 5 episodes. So it was like kind of like a little mini reunion of the thing. But I didn't know that until the first season was over. That's like when I bought Clueless on Blu-ray and I was watching it. I was like, holy crap, it's him. Now the third one, that's tough. For some reason, just sitting here thinking about Ghostbusters is the movie that comes to mind. Because it's also infinitely quotable. Your Ferris Bueller was a good one too. I don't know. The only thing I, like I said, the only thing I can, other movie I can think of right now, sitting here having this conversation, is Ghostbusters. So I might as well just go with that one. I mean, there's, can't go wrong with Ghostbusters on a list. So
no. The next question is, what got you into geek culture?
Let's see. Thomas Blake. Sorry. Thomas Blake says, it was the Spider-Man 67 series. The Spider-Man 90s series. I don't really remember the 67 series. Was that like the Super Friends with like Firestar and Iceman?
No, that was the like 70s or 80s one. I think that one was the one that went Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Okay. The 90s one, I mean, I don't know a kid that didn't at least watch a little bit of the 90s Spider-Man. Same for X-Men, which we talked about, and we talked about Batman. The animated series in the last episode too. I never watched Dragon Ball Z or Sailor Moon, but you said earlier that you used to.
I was heavy into Dragon Ball Z. I had a Dragon Ball Z website after my first Transformers website and before I went back to Transformers. I knew everything. It was disgusting how much I knew. Like all the characters are named after vegetables. Or instruments.
I'm trying to find. Was he the only one that responded with?
What kind of I'm culture? the On the forum, there were more.
Okay.
Which I didn't post in there. TFG1 Mike said, listening to podcasts. I mean, he says he was a geek since the 80s, but as far as an adult reliving it, he says podcasts are what kind of jumped him in there. Plato Lament said that he's always been a fan of things that people think aren't cool. He says, so like Star Trek, Star Wars, Dungeons and Dragons, something about being against the norm. And
so does that mean does that mean he doesn't like Star Trek now?
I don't know. I think he likes it. I think it's just saying that at the time,
right,
that they were new. Like he even has Revenge of the Nerds on there, and some of the other ones that are on the forum are super film fan 98 says video games were his gateway, and he started with the NES and played Ninja Turtles and played with the action figures, and same thing with comics.
Caps fan says it's hard to say what got him into being a geek. And Movie Revolt Dan from Geekcast chimed in with he says my brother was a big reason I got into comics. We shared a room with him being older. He decided what posters went up. He was big into things like Punisher, Spawn, and the X-Men, so I too got into them. Also, the 90s X-Men cartoon is another big reason I got into comics, along with their toy line. Most of my comic knowledge came from reading the back of the toy packages. Didn't start reading comics until later in life. Don't feel bad about that being your start into comics, Dan, because if you listen to my Origins episode on the pull bag, I got into the Marvel stuff with the trading cards. Yes. So, Steve, how did you get into geek culture?
There were actually multiple defining moments. My family grew up watching Star Trek in the 60s, my mom and my dad. So Star Trek has always been one of those staples in my family, in the early, as early as I can remember. And then, because like I said, I've seen every Trek film in theater since, Generations. And the other two things I would say is the first film I ever saw in the theater was Batman, the animated series, Mask of the Phantasm.
Wow. You are young.
Yeah. That was the very first film I ever saw in the theater. And I went with my dad, and then, how I got into comics was actually from my dad taking me up to before they were Rite Aids, they were Perry drugstores around here, and he'd take me up there, and like the Little Professor bookstores too, and I would get Batman comics, and I had a few X-Men, and that's pretty much how I started out. Very dark comics for a kid, but still.
Right.
I had like Detective Comics before the Nightfall, and then I got the Batman the Animated Series ones. And of course, the animated series on TV is what also spawned mine. But
man. See, I remember getting packages from my grandmother when I lived in Maryland. I remember my grandparents sending me packages filled with Star Wars toys, like the Millennium Falcon and the action figures, and like the B-Wing, the X-Wing. I think I don't know if I saw Return of the Jedi in a theater. When I think about like the earliest time I was in, I remember seeing something in the theater. It was, it was a re-release of Snow White.
Oh, wow.
Or it was, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Like, I saw that in theater.
Yeah, that was mid-80s.
Yeah, I remember, I remember vividly. I do remember seeing the re-release of Snow White. I saw that. Do you remember when? I don't know how long you've lived in the area. Do you remember when the Ace Hardware in Grand Blanc was a movie theater?
I don't remember that, but I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, I saw Snow White there when it was a movie theater.
Wow.
Anyways, I guess it's tough because when I was growing up, I don't think I just played with toys. I don't think there was like a I think really the differentiation came when I hit middle school, when all of a sudden there were like people that played sports and people that still played with the toys. And I did both. I didn't play like any school sports, but I played like, you know, I like playing street hockey and like, you know, basketball outside and stuff like that. I don't know. I've always been like in it because I've always liked the toys. Like we talked about Dino Riders last week and, you know, I had like the Star Wars toys, like He-Man. I had all those toys and stuff like that. It's kind of always been a thing. Coming in like the mainstream stuff, like I said, I didn't really, my dad bought me like a whole set from a guy that he worked with at work. He bought me a whole set of the Marvel Series 1 and Series 2 trading cards, like in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Because I remember I saying that I wanted them because all of a sudden all the kids at school were trading them. And I thought they were really cool. My dad went and got like a whole set for me. I wasn't allowed to trade any of them because I had a whole set, but I've just always been in it. There was no like start because I just kind of crawled out of the toys. Maybe the first time I touched a computer would actually might be the moment that I became a geek, because then I started like, I remember my friend and I trying to make a Daily Bugle newspaper in Microsoft like Works.
Microsoft Works.
Yeah. Nice. And we're like writing up fake news articles about Spider-Man and just trying to figure out how to get like the 50 cents thing to stick up at the top and all this. We were trying to make a really detailed Daily Bugle on Microsoft Work. Maybe that was like the first time I like tripped over into the whole geek side of things, right? Where I just took something too far.
Nice.
I think I identify more as a tech geek than anything else, because like I said, I've just always been a part of everything else. It wasn't until like so my defining moment as a geek is the first time I was ever able to be around a computer. And so I'm more of a tech geek, I guess.
We've had a computer since 94.
Yep. I got my first computer had 3.11 on it, and then I remember my dad upgrading to Windows 95. But I myself didn't dive into the whole like computer craze. Like I don't know how to code or any of that stuff. I'm more of like just a hardware guy. I don't do anything on the software side. I dove into that like in 2002. When I went to college and I had to buy a computer, that's when I first started getting into all that stuff. Now I have major OCD problems when it comes to technology, and it's not good. So yeah, I kind of ran all around there. What's the last question?
The last question is, if you can only do one thing, whether it be comics, movies, video games, etc., what would it be?
Let's see. Thomas Blake. Which? Thomas Blake says, oh, you stupid computer. He doesn't say. What do you got, Steve?
Yeah, he doesn't say. Movie Revolt, of course, puts That's Easy. Movies, of course. TFG1 Mike says no answer. Super Film Fan 98 says comics brought me in, movies got me to stay. He says he would also pick movies because it is something you can do with a wide range of people. And Caps Fan says video games.
Plato's Lament also says if he could only do one thing, he'd pick comics because they have the best use of storytelling. I get that. They're digestible.
Yes.
And they don't have to cram everything into, like, you know, 2 hours or 45 minutes.
No, they can take however long they need to.
Yep. Huh. Well, for me, it's video games. I love them. I don't know. I'll give anything a shot, really. What about you?
For me, it would have to be kind of almost a tie between movies and TV shows, but at this point it would kind of depend because I'd almost rather watch TV shows depending on what they are.
Right.
Which could include cartoons too. I mean, I would have to say TV shows in general would be where I would stay.
All right. Let's see. I think we need to bring this up because we started this whole thing on the last episode. We brought up the idea that maybe the Marvel movies are done, or comic movies in general are tired and out, and people had some things to say about that.
Yes.
I don't think, do we have the one that even started the whole thing off where I was crazy?
Well, like Dan actually puts in there, you're talking about the actual crazy one. Post. I mean, not person.
I take that back. We don't think you're crazy.
No, it's not crazy. What we did is that was a loaded question. I believe in the last one that got the huge explosion. And it was about Iron Man 3 and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. That is not in here.
No, that's directly on the post. Plato's Lament put, so you want the Marvel films to stand on their own, but you also want to call them to call up S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man 3 because they can say, hey, look, it's all connected.
Yeah, you said, well, wow, that's dumb, super dumb. Didn't Star Trek Into Darkness show how calling up backup just creates more problems, blah, 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 blah. No, I think I'm just doing a really bad job of conveying my opinions on Iron Man 3.
It's more or less the option was there of saying something. It wasn't necessarily that they had to actually use that option.
I mean, not only that, if you look at Phase 1, S.H.I.E.L.D. is in every movie.
Yeah.
And in the first movie for Phase 2, they are absent. And yes, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. had a small presence. I mean, the presence in Iron Man 3 could have been as tiny as a phone call or just a message on a machine that Tony checks when the Iron Man armor comes back online. Like, just something. You know, like, but that's, I want the movies to stand on their own. Like, I think the Dark Knight trilogy might be the best way to look at this, right? I can sit down and watch any one of those three movies by itself, but they're better, because of like what came before them.
Yeah.
In the world that was built, but I can still watch every single one of them on their own. I don't know, maybe I just hold the Marvel movies to a higher standard because I want them to be, I want that, you know, I want that continuity. And that's what they're striving for. And I just want it that much more, I guess. I don't know. But I do a very bad job of explaining it. And it was a loaded question about, you know, about the whole thing. Yeah, you bit hard on that one, man.
Yeah.
But please, 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 we love your questions. We love your comments. So don't take it, you know. Connor Murphy still thinks that the Marvel movies have a lot of potential. Thor is either or for me. I'll see it, not super excited. Similar to those who have also replied, Guardians of the Galaxy is my most anticipated. Not to mention James Spader as Ultron is intriguing. I think this is kind of what we were getting at, right? Thor is just kind of there.
Yeah, it's like they kind of are focusing their efforts elsewhere, and they're still going to release the movie, so they're like, it's here, but...
And honestly, I was having a conversation with some friends about this. I think it's just because, I mean, yes, we all knew that Avengers 2 was coming. That wasn't a question. But I think that the Batman Superman announcement and the Avengers 2 just getting a title, like now, I think just killed it. It was too much for me. Like they could have waited until next Comic-Con to announce the title for Avengers 2, and they could have waited until next Comic-Con to come out with, you know, their Batman Superman stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost too early.
I mean, they could have said, yes, we're recasting Batman, it's Ben Affleck. And then next Comic-Con, been like, boom, get Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck on the same stage and been like, Batman Superman is happening. That is Man of Steel 2. But I feel like doing it this year, like at this time, that just crushed the entire thing. It just killed it. Like literally the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Because it's like, you're announcing movies that I want to see, but they're not coming for 2 years. And now I really don't care about the other ones. But as like a true guy that likes the movies, I'm going to see all of them. It's not up for debate. I will see all of them. It's just, it crushed it. Like, I'm not excited anymore. How do you feel about it?
I think that they have potential. I just think that they're kind of losing sight of their focus at this point. They're too busy trying to crank out films rather than trying to make them all make sense.
If they don't look any worse than Thor and Captain America, awesome. I don't think visually you can make movies that look worse than those.
No.
Let me take that back. You can make movies that look worse than those ones. I don't think Marvel can make movies that look worse than those ones.
Yeah. But I don't care anyway. I won't see Thor 2 just because I don't care. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I have no interest in. So, and Ultron, I'm ultimately not familiar with him, so it makes no difference to me either way.
Well, I don't think it's gonna matter if you're. I don't think it's gonna matter if you're familiar with him or not, because
they're changing his origin anyway. It's basically exactly. Jarvis, isn't it?
That's like what a lot of people are thinking it's going to be. But if it was going to be Jarvis, why wouldn't you just get Paul Bettany?
Yeah.
You know what? No, I don't want it to be Jarvis, because if Joss makes Ultron Jarvis, that's just like him taking the Danger Room and Astonishing X-Men and making it an actual like sentient. Walking Sentinel around room. Android, like it was a full-on like walking around thing. I
think that's what they're trying to do, because they're trying to say that it's going to be Tony Stark's fault.
That's fine. Oh my god, I can't stand that man. I cannot stand Joss Whedon.
He ruins what he touches. Other than the fact he's, you know, bringing
Firefly was good
back to Shield.
I still have Firefly. I still have Firefly. Sean Altieria disagrees with us though. He says he is still excited for the upcoming Marvel movies. Thor is such an underrated character. There is so much to his lore that interests me. Guardian sounds interesting, or sounds different and amazing. I can't wait for a trailer for Cap 2 and Edgar Wright doing an Ant-Man movie. Need I say more? Regarding Edgar Wright doing anything, no, you don't have to say any more than that. I am interested in seeing Captain America 2, because I've heard it likened to the movie Raid, The Raid, which is supposedly like an amazing action movie. So would like to see that. But you brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Ryan Cox 20 asked us right before we started recording, do you see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being a good tie-in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And how long can a series like that last? Thoughts?
I see it possibly being a good tie-in. The only problem I have is I don't know if how long it's going to last, being that ABC kind of has this thing that it almost kind of barely gets a chance, and then they kind of ditch shows right away.
That's Fox.
Well, Fox does it, but I think that also, to some degree, I think that ABC does a little bit of it. I mean, they give them a chance at least, which is nice, but I almost wonder how that's going to go.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be really interesting because ratings are not, like, I feel like they could fund the entire series based off of their box office sales from the movies. Like, even if it wasn't being supported by the viewers, but it was still like a critical gem or something like that, or like it had potential, I feel like they could spread the love, the money pile around a little bit, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could survive off of that, for better or worse. I don't know. How long can a series like this last? Too long.
It could go on indefinitely, but I think that at maximum they should hit 5 seasons and kind of cut it off.
I think
it depends on whatever kind of storyline that they decide to tell, though.
This is an interesting thing, right? They could, I mean, there's so much potential behind a show like this, because I feel like this is going to be what I wanted Heroes to be. I always felt like Heroes could have benefited from, like, you know how, like, the X-Files movie, like, the first one is, like, the season finale to, like, was it season 6 or 7?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like every time I watched Heroes and they came to the season finale and it was always such a letdown, I felt like it was that series that really could have benefited from, like, the season finale being, like, a theatrical movie. Like,
yeah,
you watch, like, the first 20 episodes on TV, the special effects are kind of so-so, and then you release the movie, like, the theatrical movie comes out, you know, the weekend that the TV show ends or whatever, and boom, there's your spectacular blowout, everyone's having, you know, big fights and stuff. Like, I felt like that could have been that, it never was, obviously. It was always a letdown. Kind of like Smallville was always a letdown. It's like, you know, a bad prom date.
It's like The Ordinary Family ended up turning out, too.
And I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could finally do that. Like, if they introduce characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they get sent up to the movies, or you get that cameo that comes down, or maybe they even do what I just said about Heroes. Maybe stuff that, like, that's in the season of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe it culminates into the events of Avengers 2, you know, or it culminates into the events of Captain America, since that's coming out at about the time that this is supposed to end.
Yeah.
Who knows? There's so much potential in a show like this that it could easily be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. So,
again, still hard to say.
Yeah. And Steve is yawning, so I think maybe we should wrap this up.
Well, no, that's, I took a Benadryl.
That does that to me too.
It's more so due to the fact that my allergies are flared up and I'm like, I gotta be able to breathe. It's like kind of doing that to me. But no, yeah, I could kind of see all that. But it also in there, Dan says something about risking sounding like a snob, but I don't really get excited about comic book movies anymore. Saying he suffers from superhero fatigue, meaning he'll see them, but he doesn't clamor for them like he used to.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much what I said just a little bit ago. Actually, I think kind of like a sidebar, like the perfect example of this is I'm an Apple guy. I love Apple products. I get, I used to get excited every year about the prospect of a new iPhone. And I've had them all just because of how my upgrade schedule works and stuff like that. But this year, they just had their big thing on Tuesday where they showed off the phone. Monday I was hanging out with my wife and I was kind of like, I told her, I said, I'm not really, I don't care. I don't care that there's another iPhone coming tomorrow. And just, someone posted on the Twitter account about gazelle.com, and if I click this link, I get like an extra $10 on my iPhone trade-in. So I was like, yeah, let's just go see how much they're gonna off, because I have an upgrade coming. So I was like, oh, let's go see how much they're going to offer me for my trade-in. And Gazelle is offering me like $320 for my phone. So I was like, okay. So then I was kind of, then Monday I was kind of like, all right. So I took their offer and I have until such and such a time to send them my phone. And then, they'll send me the money. So I don't have to send them my phone first and then wait for a phone.
Nice.
But so I was like, okay, it's so basically now, no matter what they announce tomorrow, I can go ahead and get it. But I still wasn't excited. And then I started watching it. And then, Tuesday rolled around. I started watching the live blog and everything. And they did the 5C. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But again, not for everybody, but I'm an Apple guy. So yeah, it was kind of cool. And then they got to like the bread and butter, what I was waiting for, the meat and potatoes, which was the 5S. And I was like, I told Alex, like, okay, now I'm excited. Like, I got excited all over again. And now I'm excited to order mine next Friday when I'm at Grand Con. I'm waking up at 3 in the morning so I can make sure that I get one.
Nice.
But that's kind of how I feel about these comic book movies. It's like, yeah, I know they're coming. There's another one coming. It'll probably take a trailer, like, to get me excited about it, or just, or my expectations will be so low, I'll sit down and watch it and I'll be blown away. I mean, that's kind of what happened with the Apple thing. My expectations were so low, I was completely uninterested. I sat down and watched their hour and a half commercial, and I was like, done, sold. It'll be like that. Like, I knew I was going to watch the keynote, whether or not I was excited about it or not. I'm going to go watch Thor, whether I'm excited about it or not. And I'll probably walk out and go, oh man, that was the best thing ever. Probably won't, but I could.
Nice.
But, it's just, it is fatigue. It's kind of, you, it's, and, just to take a little shot at people, I don't know how Android people do it, given that there's a new Android phone every week. Oh my God, I drive myself crazy.
You just can't care. They all suck anyway.
But we can talk about all that stuff later. I really think we should do a tech episode sometime.
Yeah, that would be cool to do.
So I think we should wrap this up.
Yeah, the only last thing I'm going to mention is we did get an iTunes review
Yes, we did.
from Super Film Fan 66
Who we I think is Super Film Fam. So,
98.
yes, thank you, Steve.
Yep. He gave us a 5-star rating, great for all things geek, and he says just started listening and this podcast is great for all geeks, covers a variety of topics with awesome banter, which thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Now, on that note, on the awesome banter and the variety of topics, we know that we've been movie heavy. And that is going to be, it's going to get shifted around. We are working on things behind the scenes. Are there any topics that you feel that we have Last question, I guess, unless you've got one, Steve. But is there anything that you guys feel that is being neglected by us that you would like us to talk more about? Not saying that we will, because we don't want to talk about something that we don't have a stake in. But is there something you want us to talk about that we haven't? Because we want to make sure you guys like listening to us and that there's something for you to engage with. Unlike me talking about 10 minutes about my love for driving.
Hey, that's a question, though.
Yeah, it was. So.
I think we've got sufficient questions.
Have you been writing them down?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
I've been keeping up this time so that I can just post them right in the episode post.
Good job.
We'll have another episode before Grand Con, but this is the second to last one before Grand Con, and then if we do end up recording something, then whatever it happens to be, we'll just put on both feeds.
Yeah, and like episode 6, episode 8 is going to be recorded on Monday. So if you reply to anything after Monday, it may not get addressed for episode 8, but it won't be forgotten.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, people.
So Steve, if they want to answer our questions.
If they want to answer our questions, you can go to the geekcastradio.com forums. You can go to the episode post on the website. You can check us out on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can contact us through email, feedback@geekcastradio.com, the voicemail line. If you'd like to do that, have us included in the show. It's 502-526-5821. You can get a hold of us on Twitter by either using @geekcastradio or #alteredgeek. My Twitter is @scp21 and yours is?
@boothninja81.
So plenty of different avenues to get a hold of us and answer the questions or comment or leave your own questions for us.
We love all those different locations.
What's that?
We love their questions.
Yes, we love the questions because it gives us questions to ask all of you and to ask of ourselves. So I think that pretty much wraps it up this time.
I'm good.
I'm good, too. So until next time, get altered and get geeky with the Altered Geeks.